Stephanie, what a blessing. That was a beautiful, beautiful song. And what a great truth. His life for mine. That's amazing to think about. Father, please bless our time now. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from your word. Thank you that we have your word and, Lord, that we can proclaim it and that we can understand it with your help. I pray you'll guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, Proverbs 23, verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And I like all those references to joy and rejoicing. I like that. And the title of the message this morning is simply, The Father Shall Rejoice. Certainly here we have a mother also rejoicing, but it's Father's Day, and it says in verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. In other words, if you're doing right as a young person, your father should be rejoicing. And if you are the father and you have young people doing right, you're rejoicing over that. You probably are thrilled. You're excited. You're glad. And that's exactly what the Bible says here. The father shall rejoice. Who? The father of the righteous shall rejoice. And praise the Lord for so many young people that do right. I just was thinking about that this morning and thinking about all the young people. There's so much negative said about young people today, and I'm just so excited that we have so many here that are doing right. They want to please God. They want to do right. So many went to, on Wednesday, went to the nursing home. And the folks there at the nursing home just talk about our young people. Oh, those are some of the greatest young people. They're just good testimony. And I was thinking about Brother Josh Letson. And Mark was telling me, I don't want to embarrass him, but actually I do. But over this anyway, but he spoke today at the campus and preached to the young people there. And how many were saved? Five saved? Is that right? Or? Praise the Lord, and what a blessing, you know, just to be able to do that and to have that opportunity. And he had something to say because he's grown up hearing what to say. And Mark, you know, when I came in the fellowship hall, you know, that's what Mark, he didn't want to talk about the eggs. He didn't want to talk about the sausage. He didn't want to talk about the blueberries. I'm getting some of you off here, aren't I? No, you know, first thing he said, his eyes light up. You know, he's talking about Josh preaching and five people getting saved at the campus today. What's he doing? He's rejoicing. Why? Because his son did right. He did something right. It was a good thing, and it was a righteous thing. And, you know, nearly 29 years ago, I told a small group of folks at Faith Baptist Church, we had just started our church, and I remember telling them that they'd been fed a lie. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, I told them that they'd been lied to. I pointed out the lie that is being spread that teens have to go through a rebellion stage and do certain sinful things. They just have to do it. I said, it's a lie. That's out of hell. That's not true. They do not have to do that. They obviously are sinners just like anyone else, and they're going to sin, and we do sin, but they don't have to do certain sinful things. They don't have to go on and ruin their lives and mess up their testimony. They don't have to do that. They're going to do some wrong things, and they're going to be dealt with for that. But, they don't have to ruin their life. They don't have to sow their wild oats. They don't have to do that. They can actually do right. And I praise the Lord. We have many young people who are doing right. I said that 29 years ago, and I went on and I preached a real hard message. I preached a series on the home. And I'll never forget, we were just started. And my wife said, honey, don't you think it's a little soon? I said, a little soon for what? She said, you know, you're going to run off the 20 people we have. And because it was rough. I mean, it was. And in fact, people bought the tape and they sent it into the community. And I mean, folks, you know, that was before Facebook. And they actually did it the old-fashioned way. You know, they just tore me to shreds and tore that message to shreds. But you know what? Teens can serve God. Young people, children can serve God. We're having Vacation Bible School because we believe that children can get saved, can get baptized, can come to church faithfully, and they can be deacons someday. They can be preachers someday. They can be missionaries someday. They can go to the campus and they can speak someday. And they can graduate from college and still do right and still serve God and grow up serving God and raise their own families to serve God. I believe that. Amen. I believe the Bible teaches that. I don't think they have to be rebellious. I don't think they have to commit immorality. I don't think they have to cuss and swear. I don't think they have to test alcohol and try out drugs. I don't believe that. Now, they do have a choice. Because we all do. They do have a choice. No question about that. But they need to hear the truth so they can make the right choice. I'm getting sick and tired of the truth being pushed aside. I'm getting tired of people saying, well, you know, the truth may make people mad. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. And if anybody can do that, it would be God's people that we can speak the truth, but we can have a very loving spirit. You know, Vacation Bible School, we're going to be telling the truth to children. We're going to be telling the truth to shepherds. And sometimes it's going to be pretty rough. Amen. But it's the truth. And the truth sometimes can be pretty rough. Somebody said this years ago, you know, well, if you preach hard, they'll rebel against it. Listen to me. You got to just tell them the truth. You got to tell them the truth. And we ought to preach hard on the truth. We ought to be for it. We don't apologize for the truth. We don't get up in front of our children or teenagers or anybody. And folks, I'm sorry that I have to tell you this, but no, it's the truth. And I'm glad to be able to tell you the truth. I'm glad we have the truth. I get up in Sunday school and say, you know, as I pray, Lord, thank you so much that you've given us the truth. We wouldn't know what to do if we didn't have it. Right. We wouldn't know how to live if we didn't have the truth. Now, I'll tell you this. You know, our kids aren't perfect, but they hear the truth. And they if they choose to not go that way, they at least heard the truth. They know the truth. There is no question about that. Now, you know, we have some. And by the way, I'm the hardest guy in the world to give up on anybody. I don't give up on people very easy. And I very seldom do give up. There's people I'm still praying for that I pastored many, many years ago. And right now, it doesn't look good for their life. But I know this. I know that if I pastored them, they heard the truth. I know that they heard the truth. And you know, thank God for parents that teach their kids the truth and make sure their kids are going to get the truth. Amen. Praise God for that. You know, I praise God for our bus ministry and praise God for bus drivers. But when's the last time you thank God? At least, you know, parents, get them on that bus and get them here. And let them come to our church so they can hear the truth. Praise God for that. I mean, it's a blessing. Y'all to learn to thank God for the truth and not take it for granted. We so often take the truth for granted. And praise God. You know, we ought to be willing to fight for our kids. Amen. We ought to be willing to fight for our kids that they get to hear the truth. That you know, nothing breaks my heart as much as losing a child to sin. A young person to sin. It breaks my heart. Look at 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4. Keep your place there. We'll be back. 3 John and verse 4, you say, preacher, you haven't given us a point yet. That's because I'm still in the introduction. The introduction is probably as long as all the points together. 3 John 4, you're getting encouraged now. I can hear your guts growling. Well, those in college and career and Brother Tim's class, you shouldn't be hungry till supper tonight. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Praise God. And that's what we're after. Honestly, what a blessing to know that they walk in truth. And you know, if folks will just tell the truth, just preach the truth. If you're a Sunday school teacher, just tell the truth. If you're a Vacation Bible School teacher, we gave you an outline, but the outline is not as important. Just get the truth across. Just tell them the truth. Give them the scripture that tells the truth. And we ought to be ready to fight for our young people. We ought to be ready. Satan's after them. He's after them as little children. He's after them back there in the nursery. He's after our kids. And we need to be willing to tell the truth. Amen. and give them the truth. Again, they're going to make a choice. If we don't give them the truth of the gospel, they're not going to hear. There is a choice. You don't have to go to hell. By the way, we all get excited about that. Yeah, praise God. We need to tell them how to be saved. We just get nervous when it comes to telling them this is wrong. This is right. And we get real shook up about that today because of our politically correct society, and we don't want them to hear. But the truth is the truth, no matter what.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, here's one of my biggest fears. Some parents do not want their child to be as good of a Christian as the child is becoming. That drives me nuts. You know, in other words, our child all of a sudden gets on fire for God, and we get nervous. Oh, you know, they're going to start preaching to me. That breaks my heart. Parents ought to be excited. Here's what it says. The father shall rejoice. Any father? No, the father of the righteous. Your kid's doing right. Your kid wants to do right. You ought to rejoice about that. Every night you ought to praise God. Every morning you ought to praise God. Every day you ought to praise God that your child is wanting to do right.
Yes, man.
Wow. But notice verse 25. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And here's the thing. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, certainly, that could be the Lord talking about observing his ways, but it could also be a parent saying, you know what? Give me your heart, child, and you can watch me. Certainly, we can watch the Lord. He is our ultimate example of everything. But how about a dad saying, son, watch me? How about a mom saying, hey, daughter, watch me? Look at my ways and watch me, and I will guide you into doing right. Because I want to rejoice. I don't want to hear all these negative things about your life. I don't want to hear after you've been married a year that now you're going to get a divorce. I don't want to hear that you're hooked on alcohol or you're hooked on some drug. I don't want to hear that you've been arrested and you're going to have to go off to jail or you're on probation. I don't want to hear those things. I'm going to love you if I hear those things, but I don't want to hear those things. I want to hear that you're doing right. I want to hear you reading your Bible. I want to hear you praying. I want to hear that you're going to teach a Sunday school class. I want to hear that you're doing what God wants you to do. And so watch me. Watch me. You know, God didn't give children to parents. God gave parents to children. Do you understand, parents? We have a responsibility, and we of this church, we have a responsibility to those young lives that come into this place. We have a responsibility to say, watch us. We have an obligation that they watch us. And that we have the kind of life that says, hey, follow me. It'll be okay. You can follow me. I'm not perfect, but I'll show you how that when I'm imperfect that I can get right with God. And I'll show you how that I can walk so that I can protect myself to keep me as right with God as I possibly can. Follow me. Follow me. Watch me. And that's kind of what this is about and this message is about, because I want the Father to rejoice. I want the mom to have joy. I want these parents, and I want our parents to be able to say, you know, praise God. I want them to be like Brother Letson this morning and say, hey, guess what my child did? And to be proud of them, to rejoice. Oh, yeah, 29 years ago, a lot of people laughed. I preached about spanking children. They laughed. 29 years ago, it's worse today. Now they not only laugh, they want to start getting a warrant for your arrest. You know? I preached 29 years ago, I preached about having chaperones, and I still believe it. Still believe it. I cannot even imagine how, you know, honestly, you'd wipe out abortions, you'd wipe out children being born to single parents, you'd wipe all that out. You'd wipe out all that, HIV and all those things if everybody had a chaperone. You're old-fashioned, preacher. Thank you so much.
Amen.
They laughed. They laugh more now. I preached about young people being faithful to church, and people look at you like, what? Are you crazy? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. You know what? A lot of people aren't laughing anymore, because we have kids out there that are doing right. They really are, and praise the Lord for it. Let me give you four words. to help bring about rejoicing. Four words that just jumped out at me and just mean so much to me. The first one is restraint. Restraint is our first word. And there's not a whole lot of restraint today. 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 13. Restraint. And I hope you'll just kind of jot these words down somewhere and pray about them in your life. Certainly, we have a lot of grandparents here and some great grandparents. And you know, but restraint is something we can teach. Restraint is something that we ought to believe and we ought to know. And we should never, ever, ever, ever let society take that truth away from us. Ever. 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. The Bible says, "For I have told him," talking about Eli, "that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." This was Eli. This is a man who knew better. And his sons made themselves vile. Hey, it wasn't because they made themselves vile that God's getting after Eli. It's because Eli didn't do anything about it. Eli did not do anything to stop his sons from the sin they were committing. They were his sons in his home, and he's got to deal with it. And he said, I don't want to mess with that. Restraint. And by the way, that is where we are today. We have folks just, a child reaches a certain age, we're just going to let them do whatever they want to do. Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm talking about good people who, like Eli. Eli, you would look at Eli and say, he's a good man. You'd think, Eli, come on, he's a priest. He's a good guy. What do you mean, Eli? Yeah, Eli. But he failed because he didn't stop him. It wasn't that, hey, you know what? Every good kid has a bad thought. Every good kid has a bad day. Eli, you're not, look, I'm not after you, Eli, because your kid thought the wrong thought or did the wrong thing. I'm after you, Eli, because you didn't do anything about it. Huh? There's got to be sensible guidelines. The Bible is our guideline for life. But we have other guidelines that we follow. We don't let our six-year-olds drive our cars. What do you say when your six-year-old Poindexter says, "Can I drive the car, Daddy?" No. Right? I mean, Dad's using his razor. This happens all the time, especially back when before electric razors. You know, Dad's using his razor, and Poindexter wants to shave. And what's Dad give him? He gives him a razor without a razor in it. And Poindexter lathers up. Come on, you did it. You remember? And he lathers up and everything, and he has that razor without a razor in it, and he shaves. He says, "Wow, this is neat." It's not so neat, is it, now? I know you get old. Some of these guys, you can tell, you're already tired. Yeah, I know. And anyway, there he goes. And he's so excited. "Oh, Daddy, look, I shaved. Oh, this is so good. This is so exciting." But you didn't give him a real razor, did you? Because you're not stupid. Hello. But you know, we don't even think about that. It's like, well, of course I wouldn't let him drive. Of course I wouldn't let him shave with a real razor. Of course I wouldn't. Blah, blah, blah. But then we let him watch whatever he wants to watch. And we let him do whatever he wants to do. We let him make so many adult decisions as a kid. What is wrong with us? I've heard so many young people say this. They'll say, you know, "My parents let me do anything I want to do." I hear them say that, those words. "My parents let me do whatever I they're not going to tell me what to do." I hear that all the time. But you know what? Those same kids, I hear them say words like this. They say, "You know, I really don't like my parents." You know what a kid's looking for? They're looking for somebody to lead them. They're looking for somebody to guide them. That doesn't mean they'll always obey, but bless God, they know if they don't, they're going to pay the price. Amen. That's called restraint. Okay? It's called restraint. If I break the rule, then I'm going to pay for it. That's what restraint is. Amen. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 14. "Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." Huh? verse before that, withhold not correction from the child. Withhold not correction from the child. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Boy, Dad beat the fire out of me. I don't know how many times, and I never did die. Man, he could swing that paddle. Dad was not a big guy. He was a tall guy, but he was a wiry guy, and he could swing that paddle. And I mean, it covered a lot of turf. Amen. You know, I have people all the time, they tell me, they say, well, you know, especially like after last Sunday night's message, you need to get last Sunday's messages. Honestly, if you weren't here, you ought to get them, because then you'll know what they're talking about on Facebook. But, and I want you to know. But anyway, the truth of it, people will say, well, you went to the public school, you did all right. Oh, yes, I did. Dad beat the fire out of me, too. Can you imagine somebody, and again, Kayla went to public school, and I mentioned this the other day, we love our public school kids. We're not against them or anything like that. But I'm telling you, it's a whole different philosophy, that's all. It's a different philosophy. And if somebody's not getting the fire beat out of them, they're gonna go off on their own way. Something's got to happen. There's got to be discipline. Nobody amen, then that tells me where we are. You're kind of looking around for the spies. You know, who might be listening? I don't care. Anybody can listen. You know, I've got broken paddles in my office. Amen. If you've never broken a paddle, you got something wrong with you. Boy, some folks, it's like, do you know that 30 years ago I preached on this kind of stuff? Folks said, oh, yeah. It's worse today. It's like some of you are looking at me like I have an eye right here. Yeah, I know. It's a scary thought. Huh? Proverbs 22, verse 15. Look what it says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We don't believe that, do we? We really don't. You know why we don't believe it? Because of years and years and years of Spock and Freud. Yes, sir. That's why we don't believe that. We don't believe that verse because we've listened to the garbage that the world is spewing at us. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Not my little Throckmorton. No, no, no. My little Throckmorton. He has issues. Oh, does he ever have issues? Amen. I know. Don't get mad. Will you promise not to get mad? Everybody gets real quiet. I want to hear this. Okay, before you give him that pill, get out a paddle. They both start with the letter P. Try the paddle. Amen. Lovingly. Again, it's discipline is not, discipline is, okay, Poindexter, you blew it. Now you pay the price for blowing it. Daddy loves you. Amen. Right? It's Daddy loves you, but you messed up, okay? You broke God's word, and you broke Daddy's rule, and now you're going to pay the price for it. No, 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 please. Yes, 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 I'm going to. And then you do it. Why? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's why. Okay? It's not anything new. It's right there. It was in your heart as a child. When you were a child, you didn't just automatically do right, did you, as a child? How many of you got spanked as a child? Oh, wow. Look at all these people. We have people, all income groups. Trey even raised his hand. several didn't, and I can see why. But no, I'm just kidding about that. But notice, again, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We're talking about people that are going to be the future of Berean Baptist Church. We're talking about people that are the future leaders of our country. We're talking about, you know, we're talking about the next generations of people, and the foolishness is bound in their heart, and it needs driven far from them. It's called restraint. Do you understand? Restraint. Every human being has potential to be a murderer. That's what Galatians tells us. Everyone, we have potential to be thieves. We have potential to be murderers. We have potential to be liars. All of that. Right? Whom the Lord loveth, he, what? Chasteneth. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 7. I'm moving fast. Hebrews 12, verse 7. You say, not fast enough. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Good question. What son is he? Well, the Bible gives the next verse. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. God said there is no such thing as a son that's not chastened.
Right.
I mean, it's not in the thought process of God that a father wouldn't chasten his child. But I know Spock and Freud. Here's the thing, folks. We need to understand this, and all we have to do is look at the United States of America. You cannot buy affection. You cannot do it. You say, well, I want my kids to love me. I hear it all the time. I had people say, you know, I don't spank my kids because I want them to love me. You're going to get them to hate you. That's right. You cannot buy affection. If you could, the United States of America would be loved by every country in the world. Are we?
No, sir.
You get affection by loving discipline. Learn how to say no. Learn how to be the parent and say, you know what? Here's what we do in our home. You're in my home. This is what we do. You choose not to be in my home. That's up to you. But this is what we do in my home. Amen. Wow. Anyway, I'm moving on. Number two, respect. We have restraint. Number two is respect. We have to have respect. Romans 13, verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I'm thinking of authority over you. I'm thinking about authorities in our life. And there is no respect today. You know, we're ready to cut people down and tear people apart, and we don't even think that God is the one that put them there. And you can disagree with somebody without being nasty toward that person. You can disagree with a political candidate, but you don't have to be nasty. You don't have to be disrespectful because the office demands respect. It's an authority. It's like parents in the life of a child. They are the authority. They are the authority that God put there. I don't care what kind of parent they are. There ought to be a respect there. I'm telling you, we'll cover it Vacation Bible School with our bus kids. And some of them, you know, their situations are not like a lot of your kids. But I got news for you. If they have a parent, that parent should get their respect. They are the authority that God entrusted over them. I think about, our military. Such a lack of respect. I think about the lack of respect for a police officer. Drives me nuts. I can't even believe it. You know, we have folks that immediately the police officer arrests somebody, or maybe there's a shooting and all of a sudden he's guilty. Why is he guilty? You go out there and try to protect and serve. You go out there and have people shooting at you. Why is it that all of a sudden we got to put a police officer on trial every time he's trying to protect us? Hello. Boy, it gets quiet. All of a sudden, you know, the authorities are the bad guys. I think about the school. You know, one of our first Christian schools, our son David, he was just a little guy. He started school in kindergarten at Faith Baptist in Bern, and I'll never forget when he got sent home with a note about his hair. Remember that? Yeah. Yeah. He gets a note, says his hair's too long. And my wife said, and I said, praise the Lord. Somebody's watching out for the rules. You said, weren't you the pastor? Oh, yeah. 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 Teacher. But who's in charge? That teacher's in charge of him in that class.
Amen.
I know, you know. But my little point. Yeah, I know. You ought to thank God somebody loves them. You ought to thank God. Every time you criticize authority, you criticize yourself because you put your children under that authority. Amen. So this happens all the time. And I'm getting close to being done, really. Really. Because I'm still thinking about that sausage that sat here under my pulpit. But somebody, this happens all the time. Well, I heard a teenager say this about the teacher that gave him demerits. What do you expect them to say? That's like this. Well, we're here. We're going to interview the criminal and ask him what he thinks of the arresting officer. Well, I read on Facebook so-and-so didn't deserve. You are nuts. Okay, now we're going to get Facebooks for everybody in jail. And we're going to let them post everything they think about the judge, the prosecuting attorney, the arresting officers, and we're going to all read it. And what are we going to think? What is wrong with that judge? What is wrong with that officer? There's only one word I can come up with. It doesn't start with an R-E like the rest of my outline, but it starts with an S and ends with a D. And in between is Tupa. Honestly, I don't get it. I just don't get it. We need to back authority. We need to respect authority. We need to praise God for authority. Honestly, I think about our teachers. I think about here in our school, and we're just a small school. But it's worldwide where authority's being trashed. It is just going wild. I mean, MTV and all the garbage, the songs and all that kind of stuff that is against and rebelling at authority. And you know, it just breaks my heart when authorities rebel at other authorities when we're trying to help each other. Could you imagine, parents, if we discussed you to your kids like you do us? Could you only imagine? Books could be written. Volumes could be written. And I'm going to write a book someday, right before I die, so I won't have to see Facebook. Anyway, third word is rebuke. 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 Okay? Again, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Real quick, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. I'm going to go through this one so fast because I'm so afraid of repercussions. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke. There it is. Rebuke. Titus 1, verse 13. Titus 1, verse 13. It says, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. How can our young people be sound in the faith? How can your children be sound in the faith? Well, there's going to have to be some sharp rebuke. It just has to happen. It's not politically correct. But we need to make sin wicked today. We need to rebuke. We need to call it what it is. I'm not afraid to call it what it is. Homosexuality is sodomy, and that is a sin. I don't use the terminology gay. I never have used the terminology. There's nothing gay about it. It is sin. Sin, sin. It is sodomy. It's not a lifestyle. It is sin. It is a wrong choice. It is a choice that can be undone by getting right with God, and people ought to get right with God instead of messing around with it. It's a sin. Well, you say, do you hate it? No, I hate a sin. I don't hate people. I've counseled homosexuals. I've tried to help them. I've loved them and tried to be a pastor to them before. No problem. Just like any sin, it's a sin, though. I'm not going to whitewash it. I'm not going to play games with it. Abortion is murder. It is murder. It is not a choice that somebody, it's like saying, well, I have a choice to just kill anybody I want to kill. You don't have that choice. That is a life that you're taking. It is not birth control. It's murder. It is murder. It is a legal way today simply to get rid of something that you don't want. That's all it is. It is murder. It's no different than taking a gun and shooting somebody because you don't like them. There's no difference to it. It is murder. It is wrong. You see, I'm talking about rebuke. We need to rebuke. We need to call it what it is. Sex outside of marriage is sin. Period. There isn't any in between. There isn't any compromise with it. It is sin. It is wrong. It is ungodly. It's not a test for marriage. It is simply what animals do. It is sin. It's what we were with the Alinskys walking at Burr Pond, and the ducks were showing us exactly what it is. Oh, amen. When you walk by a pond, you say, oh, you know, I don't know about that. Well, it's just as disgusting when human beings carry on like that. Amen. You say, I don't know if I like all that stuff. Yeah, I understand. Did you know cussing and swearing is sin? Did you know drinking alcohol is sin? Gossip is sin. Huh? Did you know that it's not the government's responsibility to be parents to our kids? Amen. That is a sin. Humanism is out of hell. Evolution is out of hell. Pornography is out of hell. Most of television's out of hell. Most of music is out of hell. Most of the media is out of hell. Hello. Why would we be shocked about that? The world system, the cosmos, hates God. So why would we be interested in anything they have to say? There needs to be rebuking. Rebuke. Well, I don't want my kids to be upset. Rebuke. Rebuke. Amen. You know, I remember our kids were growing up. They told the neighbors if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. You say, well, don't you think that's a little, is it true or not? Yeah. Boy, people get upset, though. They get upset. Our teenager goes soul winning. We'll get a call all the time. You know, it never fails. We've gotten some calls from Clinton, from some of our soul winning in Clinton. We've had our teenagers, we used to get calls all the time. You know, well, you had some young people come and knock on our door, and, they, you know, they told us we were going to go to hell. I said, you know what? All they did was tell you the truth. That's all. They just told you the truth. By the way, aren't you glad they're out doing it? No, it bothers me. I don't know why they're doing that. I think you'd rather be going out and getting drunk. You'd rather our teenagers be, getting alone together and committing immorality. Huh? Rather than be out there smoking marijuana. Thank God for teenagers going and telling people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God that 7 years ago, whatever, somebody knocked on Lou Finnis's door and a couple of teenagers and gave him a gospel tract, told him about the Lord. Here he sits today.
Amen.
Huh? Rebuke. We need to preach against sin. And we need to tell it exactly how it is. Rebuke. And it means rebuke. That's why preaching, it's got to be hot. And you know, somebody, well, I'm going to go somewhere where it's softer. Okay. Go ahead. You know what? That's too bad you feel that way. You know what? It's too bad there are places where it's softer. Because we just need, if it says church on it, it ought to tell the truth. And the truth is rebuke sharply. Last thing, number four, is replacement. So important. 3 John 11. You didn't know there was one, did you? 3 John 11. This is it. Happy Father's Day. Amen. 3 John 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You know, I don't know how anybody could not, well, I'm going to have to see the interpretation in the NIV. That's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? I mean, there's no way around that. Follow not that which is good, but follow not that which is evil. Oh, I'm telling you, it's the eggs that were down here. It's affecting me. It really is. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. That reminds me of Vacation Bible School. But anyway, he that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. That is so obvious. Huh? Replacement. So what are we going to do? If we're gonna preach against evil, we're going to have some good. Amen. Wouldn't you agree? I'm so excited. I'm excited about some folks getting excited for our college and career young people and saying, you know what? We're going to do something. We're going to give them an activity. We're going to do some things. And I'm excited about that. It's called replacement. You know, if you're going to take something away from your kids, replace it with something right. If you take away bad, replace it with good. There's a lot of good. I counsel people all the time about their thought life, and I go to Philippians 4, think on these things, okay? Well, I'm telling you not to think on these things, so I got to replace it with something you can think on, because we do think. You think? Amen. I mean, that's what you have to do. If you're going to not think about the old music, if you're going to not think about the old lifestyle, if you're going to not think about some of the old actions and things you used to do, if you're going to not think on those temptations that tempt you into sin, then you're going to have to start thinking on things and replacing your thought life.
Amen.
And it's just something that we have to do. You know, it's called replacement. It's why we have a lot of teen activities. It's why at least every month we try to have something. And of course, in the summer, they go to camp and conference and conference. So each month, and by the way, I don't know of any church that does what we do. I'm serious. I do not know of any church that goes to camp, conference. They're huge. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to replace. You know, summer's the time you get kind of in wrong patterns, amen? And you get kind of lazy about some things, and you're not as cautious about some things. And so it's so important to have these activities. It's so important that your young people are faithful to church, and they're faithful to the teen meetings. And it's just so important. You say, well, they just aren't getting anything. They don't like... Listen to me. I remember a lot of teen meetings where I didn't necessarily like. I remember lots of activities. In fact, I remember, it seems like a whole year of college, that I didn't like psychology class. But they said I needed it. Did I think I needed it? Well, I didn't know. I was kind of stupid. But I needed it. How do you know you need it? Because God called me there. That's how I know I needed it.
Right.
And since God called me there, then everything they told me I had to take, I must have needed. Right? By the way, I didn't figure that out at 50. How old am I? 54 years old. I figured that out while I was there because I knew God called me there. Now, you're a Berean Baptist church, and if people say, okay, your kids need this, then I would just trust them and say, you know, they probably do. It may not be the most fun thing. Psychology was not fun. Learning that a dog salivates when you ring a bell, that never did a whole lot for me. I drew pictures. I have all kinds of little doodles, and sometimes I have sentences that end up going down. I don't know if you ever have that. Maybe you do in church. But, it's called replacement. It's called, God says, here, I want you to have this to keep you busy doing this and keep you busy doing right and keep you busy doing something good to keep you from doing something you should not be doing. Brother Rob, I never understood Vespers that well, but they said I had to go, so I went. The first artist series was a guy playing a violin, and back in those days, the only stringed instrument, we won't get into all that, but I didn't understand violinage back then. Didn't get it. I didn't even like it. I didn't like anything like that. It was way too slow for me, and I was, you talk about culture, I was the opposite. And this guy is playing his violin, and the only excitement was when a guy way up in the front of the gym got sick to his stomach, and he ran all the way down the aisle and tried to make it out. I enjoyed that. Say, what happened? Last three rows didn't appreciate the fella at all. But you know what? Do you know what I love listening to today?
Yes, sir.
This little group down here.
Amen.
I sit right there, and sometimes I cry a little bit because I just love hearing them play those violins. Now, God knew that way back then as I sat and I complained sometimes about, I had to go to this. And one time I skipped and I got demerits, and they campused me. We were married. All you have to do is kind of think about that. They didn't know how to deal with us at that time. They sent a note to my wife, your husband's been campused. And she kicked me out of the house. I had to go stay on campus. But you say, what'd you do? I said to the dean of men, who was at that time Mr. Molinex, I said, you know what? I said, you are absolutely right. I am guilty. because God called me here, and God told me to do what you said to do, and I failed, and I'm guilty. That might have changed my whole life right there. You know why? Because of respect for the authority. That's the last 2 points ago. And because God was trying to replace some things in my life. Praise God. Praise God for the replacement in my life. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying don't let your kids miss church. Don't let them miss out on activities. Don't let them miss vacation Bible school. Don't let them miss soul winning. Don't let them miss anything. It's all on there to replace the garbage the world's trying to fit them into. It really is. There's a reason for everything, and God is very, very smart, and he knows what he's doing, and you need to trust him. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Is there someone here this morning who'd say, preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone at all, please pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, God spoke into my heart as a Christian. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Father, we love you and we thank you for the word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the rebuke that you give us through your word. Thank you, Lord, for words showing us how to show restraint. Thank you for the replacement that you give so that we're not totally overcome with evil, but that, God, there's good in our lives to overcome the evil. Thank you, Lord, for respect for God, a fear of God, and for the authorities you put over us. Please now help us to have that in our lives. There's so many watching us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's